way. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us for our adult Bible study this morning. And this morning we're in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. And we'll be looking at verses 1 to 4. I hope you have a handout sheet this morning. And we'll be filling in a few blanks as we go through this lesson. And I'll let you know which blanks they are. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And let's look at verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, "Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's enjoy looking through these verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We do thank you for, Lord, the blessing of learning from your truth this morning. And Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to understand what you have written in your word. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us and teach us your truth, Lord, so that we may live in victory in these days that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we look at these verses and we come to chapter number 4, Peter begins to speak about the will of God. The will of God. Now, as we think about who he's writing to, remember, Peter is writing to Christians who are facing great persecution, that are being put to death for their faith. That's what was taking place in the Roman Empire. So they were facing extreme difficulty, extreme persecution, such as you and I will have never faced in this country of Australia. Now, given that there are Christians around the world in the other countries that don't have the same freedoms, and they are facing persecution, they are being put to death for claiming to be Christians and sharing the gospel. Now, remember, as Peter writes to these believers, he's writing to encourage them, to strengthen them in the faith, teaching them that they can have victory in the days in which they live. But why would he be writing to them about the will of God? Notice verse number 2 says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Why would he be encouraging these believers to follow God's will, to stay in the will of God? Well, I think the answer is very simple. Because as we think about times that we suffer and we face trials and we face difficulties, isn't it so true that the first thing we often try to do is to get out of them? We try to find the escape hatch. Amen? You know, when the fiery trial comes, we don't want to walk through the flames of fire like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego with the Lord, knowing that he is there with us and he has a purpose in it and he wants to lead us through it. No, we try to get out. We try to run for it. And isn't it true so often that escape hatch, that way out that we choose, instead of allowing the Lord to work his will in our lives and saying, "Lord, how should I respond to this?" We take the way out, and oftentimes that's the very highway out of the will of God. And so you see, Peter was writing to suffering Christians, persecuted Christians, and he wanted to encourage them that they need to stay in the will of God. They need to have the mind of Christ. So this morning we're going to be looking at this issue about the will of God. And the encouraging truth I want to share with you before we begin is that there is no failure in the will of God. Amen? Now, though you might be going through a difficulty, a loss, or trial, sometimes we feel like a failure because we can't fix it ourselves. You know, I remember when I didn't have work for almost a year, I was frustrated that I couldn't find a job. It wasn't working. I was struggling and the bank account was emptying and I was discouraged that I was a failure as a husband, as a father, and I had taken mine eyes off the Lord. Amen. I was looking for the escape hatch rather than remembering the Lord was right there and He had a purpose and a will, and I needed to stay in that will. And in fact, towards the very end, I almost took the completely wrong way out instead of what the Lord's will was, which was for us to come up here to Cairns. And so for any of us here today, it's very easy to walk out of the will of God. And we need to be strong in His will, amen? We need to be strengthened in this reality. And you may say this morning, you might say, Pastor, well, look, if I was 10 or 20 years younger, if I was in the prime of my life, well, I would worry about the will of God. But now it's too late. It doesn't matter what I do. Let me encourage you also that the prime of our life is any time we are in the will of God, amen? That is the prime of our life, when we are in God's perfect will. And it's not a matter of finding out what God's will is for our lives. The Lord is at work in our lives. He has put us on this earth for a purpose. He already has a plan. We have His word. The question we need to ask, what is my place in God's will? What is my place? Well, let's learn something about this subject this morning. First of all, the plan of God. Roman numeral number one. Your first blank is the word plan. God has a plan, amen? The plan of God. The plan of God. Again, in verse 2, the Bible says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the lusts of the flesh, in the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And this is a reality we all need to understand and believe, which is this. God has a plan for every Christian, for every life. God has a plan. Now, that's not difficult to understand because God Himself formed man of the dust of the ground. Amen. God created life for a purpose. God created us in His image. And God has a special plan for every single person. God has something He wants us to do with our Christian lives. And I remember the day that I got saved, as I began to learn a little bit more about God, the next most exciting thing, other than salvation, if that wasn't exciting enough, was that God has a specific will. Amen? He has a purpose, a mission, a plan, not just a general plan. Of course, we read that in the Word of God, God's general will for all Christians, but also a specific will. He has a place for us and a plan for us. That is exciting. And God loves us so much that the moment of our salvation, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and we are given spiritual gifts that line up, that connect to, that link up with God's plan for our lives. Spiritual gifts to be used for His glory. That's exciting. That is an exciting truth. The plan of God. Now, as we study through these verses in this chapter, notice there's a contrast between the old life, the old plan, if you will, and the new life and the new plan. Notice verse number 3. Let's read verse number 3 together. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 on 2. 1, 2. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Now, simply put, God says here that there ought to be a difference in the new life that we have in Christ and the old life which we used to live. There were, and this verse details some of them, there were things that you and I did before we were saved, and that there is a life now that God has for us in His will. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a distinct change in your life in regards to what you and I live for. Amen. We used to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, everything we desired. I remember as an unsaved person, everything that I lusted after, I went after. Everything I desired, I made it a life goal. But then I got saved and I realized God had a will for my life, and I began to desire His desires. He puts that in our hearts when we're saved, to desire what He desires. We've all lived, if we're saved this morning, we've all lived the old life, amen? And God says it's time to live the new. It's time to live the new. He has a new and living way, amen, for us to live through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has a plan, amen? God has a plan. Roman numeral number 2, the price God paid. Do you realize that God paid a great price for that plan? Amen. God paid a great price. Notice what Paul encourages the believers with in verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. The Bible describes to us the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the new life we have in Jesus Christ didn't just happen. It didn't just come to us because you went to a place where you could purchase a brand new life. No, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased our salvation for us. The Bible tells us with outstretched arms, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and shed His holy sinless blood to pay for your sins and mine. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, didn't He? You know, when we think about God's plan for our life, we think about all the choices we have in the world, anything we can do. You know, if we're saved, well, look, what do we have to lose? That's what the flesh wants to tell you. Look, if you're saved, why don't you just live as you please? And there are people who are teaching false doctrines in churches. I was just speaking with Brother Fred this morning that say, look, if you are a Christian, you have Christ's righteousness, and they take it to the false extreme to say that anything and everything we do is righteous. I am Jesus if I have His righteousness, therefore I can live as I please. Well, I hope you see in this these scriptures here this morning, in chapter 4, Peter challenges them, you need to stay in the will of God. That means we can also live unrighteously. That means we can also make the wrong decisions. And in order to encourage us and motivate us to stay in the will of God, what does Peter want us to know? He wants us to know that Christ purchased our salvation. He wants us to know that the price was so great that God sent His only begotten Son to suffer and to die on the cross for our sins. Isn't that not our motivation to live for God? You know, if you're genuinely saved, you'll have a desire to live for the Lord, to live for the one who saved you. Amen? You know, if you were walking down the street one day you didn't see a truck heading towards you, and someone pushed you out of the way and they got hit, and you were delivered from death and you were delivered from that tragedy, would you stand up on your feet and walk home and tell no one about it? Of course not. Absolutely not. You would be thankful, amen, for what that person did for you. You would go and see their family. Your life would be changed. You would never forget what that one has done for you. And I dare say you and I would be indebted, amen, to the family of that one, or that one that put their life in our place to deliver us. Think about what Christ has done for you and I. My friends, He is our motivation to now live according to His will, His plan. He has a new plan, amen? It's not the old life. It's not the lusts and the lasciviousness and the excess of wine and banquetings and revelings and the idols. My friends, there are many idols in the world, many idols that we excuse to be okay. But God says, no, I want you to live for Me. The price that He paid. The price that God paid. Now, it's one thing for an unsaved person to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But tell me this morning, who was Peter writing to? Was he writing to the unsaved, those who were not Christians? No, he was writing to Christians. You see, it's a horrible thing when we as Christians get saved, we go on for a little while, but then we get off track and we slide back into our old ways and we live outside of the will of God. Why is it so horrible? Why is it so terrible? Because of the price Christ paid, amen. So let me encourage you, folks here this morning, let that be your motivation to stay in the will of God and to desire to do His will because of the price He paid. It ought to be personal, amen. Shouldn't want to live for the Lord because pastor says so, because he's got the microphone and he's talking too much on Sunday, you know. It ought to be because the Lord saved you. And He is your Lord. And He is your Savior. Amen. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. Not just Him, but us. The love of Christ constraineth us. Lord, what do you want me to do? That means before we make up our mind for our plans, we need to seek His plan, His will, His desire. The price God paid. So here's a plan. He paid a great price. Notice thirdly, the pathway to the plan. The pathway to the plan. How can we know we are in God's will? Well, the next blank is the word pathway. And that's on the back side of your notes. The pathway to the plan. If you miss any words or blanks, they're at the bottom of your page as usual. The pathway to the plan. Notice verse number one. After we learn about the sufferings of Christ, the Bible says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, the Bible tells us there is a pathway to staying in the will of God. What is that? Well, we have a weapon. That is the pathway to the will of God. We have a weapon. We are to arm ourselves with what? With the mind of Christ. The same mind. We are to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And very simply, Peter is saying, Christ's thoughts need to be our thoughts. If we want to be in the will of God, if we want to stay in the will of God, His thinking needs to become our thinking. And let me guarantee you, the moment of your salvation, your thoughts are just at a starting point, at becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ's thoughts. You don't suddenly have complete understanding and revelation of the universe. Amen? The Bible tells us when we are saved, we are newborn babes that need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's right. We begin to eat up God's Word, to feed on His Word, to grow in His truth. And we need to grow as Christians more and more. It's a lifelong process. It will never end. Continuing to be transformed. And God wants to transform our thoughts to become like His thoughts. So that means our desires need to become His desires. Our priorities need to become His priorities. Our thoughts need to become God's thoughts. We need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. You know, God has a wonderful plan for us. And we need to rejoice in that. God has paid a great price for us. We need to take seriously our Christian lives and live for Him. But we need to stay on the pathway of God's will. And as I've shared this morning personally, it's so easy to get off the path of God's will. It's so easy to do that. Why? Because we start to think thoughts that are not God's thoughts. We cease to feed on the Word of God. We cease to seek God's will in His Word. We think our own thoughts. The Bible tells us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? His ways are not our ways. If that's true, If that's true, we need to be very careful in what we do with our lives and how we make our decisions. Because the Bible tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Two giant extremes. There is a path, God says, that can look so good and look so right and look like it is the Lord's will, like that job which came to me at the end of that year when I had no work. I thought that was it. I was about to take it. And then on Sunday night during the preaching, God said, no, you've been going the wrong way for the whole year. Wow, I was in absolute shock. And I said, my, I was just about to get that job on Monday. They invited me to come in and just sign the papers and I had a new job. Thought it was a great job. And the Lord said on Sunday night, no, you've gone back fishing. You've gone back to your old fishing nets. I've got something completely new for you. And the Lord didn't show me what that was. But I realized then, more than ever before, just because I've been a Christian for 5-6 years, didn't mean a thing. Didn't mean a thing. If I don't have the mind of Christ, I'm in big trouble. And it's at that point where I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And I was comforted by the scriptures in a fresh way, in a new way, to remember that the Lord is with me. And I need to surrender anew. Not seek a new job, but to surrender anew. And we can all head down the wrong path. We can all go down the wrong path. That's why we need the mind of Christ. We need to think God's thoughts. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. Here in Ephesians chapter number 4, notice the Bible says that we were ignorant before we were saved. Ephesians 4:17-19, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. So here's the challenge from the Apostle Paul. Don't walk the way you used to walk. There's a new path to walk on. There is a new plan to walk in. In the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto, here's the word again, lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. So Paul is saying here, hey, don't walk the same way you used to. Don't think the same way you used to. Don't desire the same things you used to. There is a new path to walk on. There is a new will of God. You see, if we are saved, we are not blind anymore, are we? These verses speak about people who are alienated from God. When we're saved, we are brought into the family of God. We become the sons of God, the children of God. We are not blind. We are not alienated. We are not ignorant. We are given new sight by the new spiritual birth. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 4, there in your notes, verses 20-24. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Very important verses. When we are saved, we have a new spiritual reality, the Holy Spirit of God living within. We have a new man. That's what the Bible describes our new spiritual being as, a new man. But we also have the old man. We have a new nature. Amen. But the old nature is still there that Paul himself struggled with. And he said, the Apostle Paul identified that struggle. And every day we need to put off the old man and put on the new. It's like putting on clothes and putting off clothes. We need to take off anything that doesn't please the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to put on spiritually everything that does please the Lord Jesus Christ. Any thoughts that are not God's thoughts, God's priorities, God's desires, we need to put away and put off. It's a daily discipline. It's a daily discipline. And as we put on the mind of Christ, as we spend time in the Word of God, as we allow God to shape our thoughts and desires, we will make the right decisions. We will make the right plans in our daily lives. Daily decisions require the mind of Christ daily. Amen. I'm not talking about the big picture of God's plan only today, but the daily decisions. What we do in different situations, we need the mind of Christ. We need to yield our thoughts. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12. Be ye transformed. So every day we need to be transformed. Now, what happens if we are not? What happens if we even simply just read the Bible, but we don't put His Word into our lives? What happens if we are not renewed in our mind? Well, we will simply go back to living the way we used to live before we were saved. But the Lord won't allow us to enjoy that life, because you see, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He lives within us. The Holy Spirit of God will not let you enjoy the old life. As a Christian, the worst way to live is in the flesh. There is no pleasure, there is no joy. The Holy Spirit will be grieved, and He won't allow you to be happy as a Christian living outside the will of God. He won't. He'll be grieved. And the reality is, if we don't arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, we can live our entire Christian life making the wrong decisions every single time and heading down the wrong path, because our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our desires are not His desires. And He will work in our lives to do His good pleasure, but we need to yield to His thoughts. You know, I think it would be a scary thing if we each had a piece of paper, if I gave you another blank sheet, and myself included, and if we wrote down the priorities for each of our lives. What is our priority in life? What are the most important things? We would probably give the right answer in church, but what are we actually doing in our lives? What do our actions display? Are any of them Christ's priorities? To be honest, many of our priorities are, well, comfort. Okay? My number one priority is my own comfort. I need to maintain my way of living. Okay? I've chosen to live a certain way and to buy certain things. I desire certain things in my life. So in order to maintain that level of living, I need a standard of income, and that's my priority, okay? If I don't maintain that, I'm not going to enjoy life. So that is my priority, my finances, my comfort, a comfortable lifestyle, being able to afford to travel when I want to. When I want to go out and eat, I want to be able to afford to do that. I want to own my own home. I want to be successful in the field that I'm in. I want to feel good about myself. I want to be accepted by others. I want my body to be physically fit. You know, oftentimes these are our priorities. And to be honest with you, none of those things are God's priorities. Christ's priorities, well, we know what they are. His priority is the gospel. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ. His priority is that you and I would live and grow as Christians, that we would be transformed to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have a close relationship with God. Are any of those priorities of God on our list? Do they even come within the top 10? Oftentimes, they're underneath, and if this is all in place, I'm happy to be a witness. If this is all in place, then I'm happy to read my Bible. But look, as soon as something up here is out of place, well, forget about the spiritual life. I need to focus on this, my comfort. Amen? Absolutely. That's what I was worried about. How am I going to provide for my family? What's going to happen to us? Well, we need to move out west Sydney. Who wants to live in Western Sydney? I'm happy on the North Shore, amen. That's what my flesh was saying. Why would I want to drive half an hour, 45 minutes to get to work every day? What a nightmare. But yet perhaps that would have been God's will. And I totally lost sight of the Lord, thinking of my own comfort, forgetting about the promises of God, forgetting about the precious plan that He has and the great price that He paid. And we need to constantly, constantly put on the mind of Christ so we make the right decisions. Let me encourage you to make an inventory list this week. What are my goals in life? What are my priorities? As you write them down, maybe it's a good opportunity this week to renew our minds. Amen? Amen? Asking the big question, why are we here? What is our priority? Now, by the way, work is in that priority list. It's just not at the top, that's all. It's in that list. I'm not against work. Amen? Not at all. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things at the bottom of the list, He'll take care of. Amen? He'll take care of it. He promises. But He must be first. The only way that you and I can think that way and even not be offended. Look, I've talked to some Christians. They've been offended because I've told them to put the Lord first. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Well, hang on a second. I've been where you are. And I struggle every day to put the Lord first. I need His mind. No, we need to pay our bills. I know that. Amen. God knows that. You see, the stubbornness of the old man is so great. We can convince ourselves we are in the will of God so much that we are blinded to His will. The mind of Christ. That's what Peter was saying. You're saying, suffering believers, more than ever in your life, you need to have the mind of Christ. If you're going to leave a dying testimony in this world, which many of them did, and live in victory, you need to think how God thinks. The Roman Empire wasn't in control of these ones' deaths. It was the Lord. He was in control. They needed to realize He had a purpose and a plan, a glorious plan for their lives. But if they didn't have the mind of Christ and understand His presence and plan for them and with them, they would run. They would run to another country, flee the persecution, instead of stand for the Lord. Lastly, the possibility of missing God's will. Well, the pathway is to have the mind of Christ. Lastly, the possibility of missing God's will. Now, the verses here, notice verse number 2, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. If we put down into our lives what we've learnt this morning, we will live according to the will of God. But, it is possible to live according to the lusts of men, our own old, the lusts of our old nature. It is possible. It is. And we need to understand that it's either one or the other. Either we are living out our own lusts and desires, or we are living according to the Lord's desires. And again, it's on a daily basis. What are we living for? Our daily choices. Do we put sleep over our quiet time? Well, that's the lust of the flesh. Amen? The desire for more sleep. We miss out on the Word of God. We miss out on our quiet time. We indulge in things that, well, yes, we all need sleep, but what's more important than that? Well, being renewed in our mind, having the mind of Christ each day. Every day we need to put on the new man and put off the old man. Slothfulness is not a virtue. God tells us it's a sin. So even a simple thing like that can keep us from the mind of Christ and being in His will each day. Let me close with verse 4, just with a thought, because Peter ends with it. He says, wherein they think it strange. That's the world, that's the unsaved around us. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, what is Peter saying? Well, Peter is saying, when you are saved and you are on a new path, it's not going to be the same as the old path you used to live. Amen. And remember, on that old path, you didn't live it alone. You lived it with your mates. Brother Huey mentioned mates. You lived it with your mates. Guess what? If they're not saved, they're still on the same path. They're still saying to you, hey, come this way. Where are you going? That's weird. Why are you in church on Sunday? What kind of religious freak are you anyway? You used to come out and party with us. You used to come out and play sports with us. Why are you in church on Sunday? What's happened to you? What's wrong with you? And the Bible tells us here that we won't be accepted by those on another path. We are on a new path. And be prepared to walk that path alone. We walk it together. We walk it with the Lord. But be prepared, you will walk it alone when it comes to those who are not saved. And I think perhaps, and maybe even more so for our teenagers that are so influenced by what others think of them. And many times teenagers make decisions in their life based upon what others think of them, whether they approve of it or not, rather than standing alone for Christ. You know, we also as adults can be that way. We can go, well, this is too much. You know, they don't like me because I'm doing this spiritually. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, the Bible tells us they think it's strange. They think it's strange. Just be prepared. And when you stand for the Lord, some will think it's strange. When you stand for the Lord, some will mock you and accuse you and persecute you. And very often that's the indication that you're on the right path. Amen? That you're on the right path. I had many people tell me, James, you've changed. We don't want to be around you anymore. And that hurt incredibly, but it also encouraged me more than it hurt. Because I realized, well, there is a reason why I'm changed. Because He saved me. He saved my soul. That's the very evidence they need to see in order to be saved themselves. Amen. And I encourage you to walk in the will of God. Be strong in His will.